Got another story for you this morning. I was doing my regular thing over at Louisa's eating breakfast. I got another phone call and they want me to sing this morning. So here we go. Not really. Thank goodness. It'd be a lot of praying for that. Yeah. Welcome everybody. It's a beautiful day outside. It just depends on how you look at it. Okay. Depends on how you look at it. We have to have the rain. We have to have the cool air and we got it. Enjoy it. Take a nap this afternoon. All right. We have Pastor Buren back today. Everybody give a yahoo. Yeah. This is one of my favorite parts on Sunday morning. I love the preaching. It's praise and worship. I love the praise and worship. Because it's a time that we can come together and praise. This morning I want to read to you in Psalms. It says, sing the praises of the Lord with you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. What I want to ask you to do this morning is this. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just let this be the first part of church. Listen to the songs these guys have prepared for us to take us to another level of praise. And this morning, let the words of the songs penetrate your heart. Let it speak to you. And then what I want you to do is, this morning, find yourself praising God and praising with God. Praising him and also praising with him. Glorifying everything that he has, all right? So let's join us this morning in praise.
Savior say, thy strength and mine alone can change a leper's spots and wash a heart of soul. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
For eternity.
Amen. Let's give him praise this morning. This next song is a song we hadn't done in a while, but it's a pretty powerful song. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, there's many reasons. There's 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. What he does for us, how he lives with us, he resonates with us. He's with us all the days of our life. Anytime we need to call on him, he's there. So this morning, just let everything go. Whatever's been happening this morning, let's just let it all go and let's praise the Lord this morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart.
mercies every day, God. You are so powerful, so wonderful, so worthy we can't even comprehend, but we give you every ounce of what is in our hearts for you, God. We lift you up. We praise you. That is why we're here. We're so thankful for your love and what you do for us every single day, and so thankful that you and your love and your power is in us. So that no matter what happens, God, we have access to your comfort that nothing else on the planet can come close to giving to us, God. We love you. We lift you up today.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me, it will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Thank you.
it can always be well. Because you are so holy and you've made us holy. I can't comprehend. I don't understand your power and your grace, God, but you are so big. You are so big and you are so awesome and you are in us. And I love you so much and I thank you for that and we praise you in your name.
Good morning. Oh, how's everybody? Whatever everybody's here. First of all, I want to thank Joy for pinch hitting last Sunday for me at last notice. I just want to let you know, if anybody here has a dream to speak up here, let me know. I will try to make that happen for you without going through what I went through. Whew, that was a bad bug, to say the least. Anna, our granddaughter, she is so smart, but she doesn't get, like, common sense stuff. Like, Desi said to her the other day, said, Anna, you need to stay out of your brother and Liam's hair. And she said, I'm not in their hair. What do you mean, stay out of their hair? And so I told her that, the other day, I said, that was a nasty bug, wasn't it, Anna? And she looked at me, she said, nasty? I said, bad. Oh, yeah, it was bad. So it was nasty, but we're here. I turned it into a positive. I saw Ralph Thursday morning, and I said, you know, that was really a real positive thing that happened. I purged my body. I am purged. I am clean. I am so pure this morning. So get ready. I'm as holy as you're going to see me. This is it. But I want to close out a series this morning called Intentional. And then we're going to start a new series next Sunday. Let me tell you what happened. We had another series we were going to do. And Ralph came up to me a couple of weeks ago. He actually called me on the phone. And he said, I know you probably already have your series for next month. He said, but I'm going to tell you what I feel in my heart. He said, what God is saying in my heart is that let every word be established by two or three witnesses. And he said, you know, the Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. And he said, what I'd really like you to do, consider, you pray about it, is that what I do on Wednesday nights, if you could follow that up on Sunday mornings. And it kind of resonated in my heart and my spirit, so I prayed about it and felt that was a thing to do. So next Sunday morning, we're going to start a series called The Power of Positive Thinking. And we're just going to follow up from Wednesday night. Dr. Raff starts this Wednesday night at 6:30 on the School of Positive Thinking. So we're going to follow that up with what God lays on our heart to preach. As soon as I get out of this well, I'll get started. But I want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. And the prayer of thanksgiving is, I don't want us to take for granted what God has speaking to us over the last few years. I don't know about you, but I had a moment this week where I just sat up in my bed by myself and wept before the Lord, thanking him for letting me see what I see, for letting me know what I know, for letting me be exposed to what I'm exposed to. And I want to thank God for that. I want to thank God on our behalf, not just me, for all of us. Can we just do that together? You know, I just want you right where you are just to begin to thank God for opening your heart and your mind to see things you've never seen before, to hear things you never heard before, to seeing a life that God really wants you to have. Can you just do that? Just thank him right now. Just verbally thank him from your heart. Thank him. God, we are so grateful. I'm so grateful for this house, for this church, for this body. I'm so grateful for the willingness of people to open their hearts and minds and say, God, just speak to me and show me. Let me see things I've never seen before. Let me hear things I've never heard before. You know, there's a scripture that says, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And oftentimes that's quoted at funerals and that's read at times at gravesides. But the very next verse carries it further. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. No eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard, but he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. I want to share a message to you with you today called Intentional and Bearing Fruit. Intentional and Bearing Fruit. Man's mandate, and I want to take my time this morning. I want to teach this morning more than preach. Is that okay? Sure it's okay, because I'm... All right, here's what we're going to do. God said to mankind, he created them in his likeness and in his image. He created them male and female. And God gave them their mandate. God said to Adam and Eve, I want you to take dominion. I want you to be fruitful. Say fruitful. I want you to be fruitful and multiply and take dominion. Now, that mandate has never been changed. God's mandate for mankind has always been to bear fruit, has always been to be the head and not the tail. It's always been to be above and not beneath. It's always been to be fruitful and multiply. And not only that, but not only to bear fruit, but Jesus went on to say, and that your fruit should remain. So it's not just I want you to bear fruit, I want it to remain. One of the minor prophets in the Old Testament ended his letter or his book by saying that there was coming a day when the, if I can quote it just right, when the reaper would overtake the harvester, or the harvester would overtake the reaper. And what he was saying was there's coming a day when the fruit bearing is going to be so rapid and so quick that instead of being seasonal like it is, and that it's just going to be constant, there'll always be fruit coming forth in your life. Now, a minor prophet said that. Now, before I read this scripture and get into it, I want you to understand there's the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, you had God that was constantly dealing with man. And you had glimpses of new covenant. You had glimpses of Christ because the prophets would prophesy about him. But then they'd come back and speak to their day. For instance, there's a scripture that says, and God humbled the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now, Jesus comes along and the four Gospels are recorded, and Jesus is transitioning the old covenant into the new covenant. He's transitioning the law written upon tablets of stone to law written in men's heart. He's transitioning from not an outward understanding of who God is, but an inward understanding of who God is. And so Jesus is in this transitional mode of transitioning old covenant into new covenant. Then you have the epistles who come along, and Paul writing the majority of them. And Paul says, now, God is not humbling you, you're humbling yourself. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And so what you actually have is from an old covenant where God is speaking to man to reestablish him and to get him to understand how to get back to this mandate of being fruitful and multiplying, Jesus transitioning us into the new covenant. And then you have Paul saying, hey, dudes, it's now us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not me. See, my prayers have got to change, because my prayer life is now is not trying to get God to come down, but trying to get God to come out. Because he resides within us. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll be their God, they shall be his people. He lives within us. Now, I know this is 101 Christianity, but it's really not. It's way deeper than 101. And so I let's just read this passage of scripture. John chapter 15. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit and prunes the branches that they do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Now, Isaiah chapter 5. Now I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land and cleared its stones and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Over and over again in the Old Testament, you hear God talking to his people as that they were the vine, that they were the ones that were to bear fruit. Jesus comes along and he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches and my Father is the gardener. I don't mean this, what I'm about to do, in a demeaning way, but just to show you how far we've come. I remember years and years ago, we used to sing this little chorus, and maybe some of you remember it. It goes like this. He is divine and we are the branches. His banner over us is love. He is divine and we are the branches. His banner over us is love. Now that's a sweet song. Here's the deal, and I'll show it to you in scripture. You're the vine, you're the branch, and you're the gardener. We got to stop thinking that God's going to do all of this for us, and we got to do it. It's going to get done. We got to do it. You're the vine, you're the branch, and you're the gardener. God's not up here with some scissors in his hand coming down and going to prune me. He's not going to come down and vine needs a lot of attention. It's a plant that needs a huge amount of attention. I want you to say this with me. I need a lot of attention. Now, some of you said that real serious. Here's the deal with that. All right, here's the deal with that. Now, normally when people say, I need attention, they're saying, I need your attention. Right? That's what usually a wife says to a husband. Hey, I'm here. I live here in this house. I need your attention. This is not what I'm saying. When I say you need a lot of attention, you need to pay yourself, myself, a lot of attention. I need to look at my... Paul said it this way, examine yourself and see that you're in the faith. And so when I say now I need a lot of attention, it's not that I need attention from Barbara, as I do in a certain way. I need to pay attention to myself. I've got to look at my life. I've got to pay attention because a vine needs this careful attention. Second thing about a vine, it needs careful preparation if it's going to bear fruit. Now, if I ask you, why did Jesus die on the cross? Every one of us would answer for our sins. And every one of us would be partially right. What if I told you this morning that the reason Jesus died on the cross and was buried in the ground was more than that? Right. Jesus came to a place, and you want to write this down, write it down, because it's a very important scripture. It's not on the PowerPoint. In John 12, 23, Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for me, the Son of Man, to enter his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies," and he's talking about his life. He's not talking about a literal kernel of wheat. He's looking at himself and he's saying, "Except it's time for this Son of Man to be glorified." And he says, "Except this kernel fall into the ground and die, it's alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." Wow. Jesus died not only to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me, he died so that I can be a fruit bearer. He died so that his planting in the soil would bring forth many, many other lives. In Hebrews chapter 12, it said like this, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, but he endured the cross." What was the joy set before him? You and me. Us. And Paul said it like this to one of the churches. He said, "You are my crown and you are my joy. When I come and see you and I see your lives change, this is what gets me." And so he's saying that there's two ways that how can I bear this fruit. And what I want to share with you this morning is three things. How can I do it? I mean, want to know, that's important. You know, there's little words: how, what, when, where. You know, those are critical words. I'm going to talk to you about how I'm going to do this, when I'm going to do this, and why I'm going to do this. I want to tell you how I'm going to be a fruit bearer, how you're going to be a fruit bearer, how, when I'm going to do this, and why I'm going to do this. Why do I want to do this? How many know kids always, why? And of course, we have the great theological deep answer, because I say so. It's far deeper than that. And so, why do I want to bear fruit? Well, I just jump ahead in hyperspace for a moment. To be happy, to be joyful. But there are some things in my life, two ways. Number one, there are things in my life that need to be cut off. Say cut off. There are things in my life that needs to be cut back. They cut back. How many has ever pruned a tree? I have crepe myrtles. Them things, Lord, they are just something else. But you can whack those things down. I mean, you can whack them almost down to the ground. They just come back up. But if you'll prune them, if you'll cut them, they just come back so beautiful. But they got to be, some things got to be cut off. And some things got to be cut back. I have to decide in my life what needs to be cut off. I'll meddle for just a minute, maybe my second helping. Just meddling just here for a minute. Maybe some sugar, some fats, some sodium, some bread, certain people. Yeah. Here's in 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There is no temptation, no testing taken unto you, but such is common to man." I mean, nobody knows what I'm going through. Yes, they do. Anybody ever? Nobody understands what? Yes, they do. I get, there's no testing, there's no temptation taken unto you, but such is common to man. But, he said, God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted or tested above that which you're able to bear, but will with the temptation or the testing provide and make a way of escape. Don't we love that word escape? All right, this word escape is not that when I'm in this testing and in this trial that there's this escape door that God opens over here and says, oh, here you are, get out, come on. Here's the escape route. Let's go this way. That word escape is a navigation term. And that word escape means lighten the ship. Lighten the ship. Maybe there's some things in my life that needs to be out of my life. And one of my favorite stories is found in Acts chapter 27. Paul, I love Paul, he's a prisoner. And he's put on this boat and there to take them and other prisoners to another place. And they look at the south wind that was blowing, and it was all really beautiful. But they didn't have cell phones back then. We finally wised up deep sea fishing and realized we don't just look at the sky in the morning. We have these smartphones now, and we make and look out, and it looks really nice and beautiful, but we can pull up an app and go weather and then pull it up even further. And we can see all kinds of storms that's out there. It sure has made things a lot better. So, they didn't have that. But they did have a guy named the Apostle Paul, who's a prisoner. And they looked and I saw the south wind blowing and it was so nice. And Paul said, listen, I don't think we need to go on this voyage. Something bad is going to happen. And they said, you're crazy. Look how beautiful it is. Well, nevertheless, they head out and they go. Man, when you read chapter 27, I thought being in a storm, I've been in some pretty rough seas at times. Four or five times I've been in some pretty rough storms, but they only lasted a little while. I'm talking maybe an hour we got through it. They was in this storm for 14 days. Yeah. Man, when I read the storm and reread this thing, well, what happened, they're in this storm, and Paul said, we need to do one thing they started doing. You know, how many know that when you get into storms and get into situations, that priorities really begin to take shape? Things that are really, really important. You know, I realized this week again, if you get up in the mornings and you got your health, you feel good, you should lift up both hands unto God and just praise His holy, righteous name. If you got your health, you just ought to just worship and praise God for your health. Because when things are taken from you, then you realize how important they really are. And priorities begin to take place. So they begin to throw some stuff overboard. That cargo, just not that important to me right now. These big old waves coming at me, that's scary. This storm, there's a possibility I may lose my life. Well, when it gets down to that, it's going, you know what? This ain't important. And so they're going to throw some things overboard. And then in verse 30, it says, then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboat as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. Now, that, you got to know a little bit about sailing and all, because they do that like in The Perfect Storm. Yeah, my movie, The Perfect Storm. They threw those anchors out because they're trying to stabilize the boat. Well, they're trying to fool everybody. They're not dropping anchors, they're dropping lifeboats. Let me tell you something. Here's something to understand about storms so that I can... Don't get out of the boat. Don't jump. Don't abandon ship. You see, there are people who abandon ship who wish they'd never abandoned ship during the storm. Don't jump out. And Paul said, let me tell you something. Look, Paul said, you will die unless the sailors stay aboard. So the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. What's your lifeboat? What's your security blanket? What is it that maybe I need to make sure I'm cutting this thing off? Like, there's no out. Paul says, unless everybody stays in, everybody's going to die. So, just as the day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. You've been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks, he said. Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair of your heads will perish. Then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all. How many times have we said that over the last 2 years? How many times have you heard it? How many times? Be grateful, be thankful, be grateful, be thankful. And so Paul said, here you are in the midst of your storm. Here's what you can do. Here's you some bread and be thankful. How many know this is the greatest bread that we have, the bread of life? Take the promises and be thankful. He's going to provide the way of escape. He's going to show me what I need to throw overboard. He's going to show me what I need to empty of my life that I don't need. He's going to show me what I need to do. And guess who's going to do it? I'm going to do it. That's why it used to bother me at times, because I understand what people say. God restored my marriage. No, he didn't. You did. His promise is working through you. His word working, but you did it. See, God doesn't just come down and straighten this life out, straighten that life out, and here's this one over here. No, he gives you and gives you and gives you and gives me and gives all of us the same opportunities. But we have to do it. Now, Bill, I was reminded something that you taught me 30 years ago, and you said, I think I'll try to record it right if I can. I know you can remember it. You said, truth and its first sight, first appearing, always seems negative. It seems negative because you've never heard it and you never saw it that way before. But once you begin, I mean, how many people when this already happened 3 years ago, it just didn't seem right. But how many know now it is right? It is right. And so he said, don't jump ship. Be grateful. Then everyone was encouraged and began to eat, all 276 of us who were on board. After eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. Wheatless diet. First time wheatless belly ever came into being. They didn't need that wheat. Let's throw the wheat. Oh, that was idea. That I didn't even think about that before right now. I just right off the cuff. When morning dawned, they didn't recognize the coastline. They saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get to shore by running the ship aground. So they cut off the anchors and let them into the sea. Then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail, and headed toward shore. In other words, I'm not running this. To heck with running from this storm. Cut off the rudders. Cut off the anchors. Let's head right toward it. Let's headlong into it. They hit a shoal and ran the ship around too soon. The bow of the ship struck fast. While the stern was repeatedly smashed by the force of the waves, it began to break apart. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim ashore and escape. Now, that was understandable, because if you were a soldier and you had a prisoner, if that prisoner got away from you, whatever they were suffering, whatever their sentence was, you took it. You took the sentence. That'll make you keep your eyes on people real light, won't it? He said, soldiers wanted to kill, but the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul. When I read that, I thought, wow. There was one man on that ship that determine everybody else's life. You never know in life where you are and when you are. Everybody else is going to be saved because of you. Because of you. You see why you bear fruit? It's not for me. If one person in here could save the whole church, one life, one person in a circumstance, in a situation, could change the whole demeanor and the whole thing that's going on and work it out for good. Then he ordered all who could swim jump overboard and make for land. And I love this part. The others held on to planks and debris from the broken ship, so everyone escaped to shore safely. The same ship that was breaking up and going down was the same broken pieces that saved lives. I shared with this with Ralph the other day. He said, the same light, Billy, that blinded Paul was the same light that opened his eyes. The same light that blinded him where he couldn't see was the same light that opened his eyes and the scales fell from his eyes and he could see. And see, there are just things in our life sometimes that need to be cut off. And sometimes things that just need to be. And understand this about a vine. Some things about a vine, when it says cut off, it literally doesn't mean cut. There are times to cut, but it means to wash. Sometimes the vines, they would go and they would lift up part of the vines and they'd take a washcloth and they'd just wash it off. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Let's wash ourselves. Jesus said to Peter, I need to wash y'all's feet. And Peter said, no, not so, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet. So I don't wash your feet. You have no part of me. But Peter said, Lord, just wash my whole body then. He said, Peter, you don't need to wash your whole body. Just your feet. Because you've been cleansed. Can you go back to that John chapter 15, first slide for a quick moment? John chapter 15. He says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Isn't that great? See, there's an absolute pruning done by the Word that prepares us for heaven. There's an absolute thing that happens at salvation that says you are totally cleansed. And then there's this progressive work that prepares us for this life. You know what it means to remain in Him? Y'all ready for this? This is good. To have a sustained conscience of communion with God. To have a sustained conscience of communion with God. Wow. That's how you bear fruit. Can everybody say amen? All right, let's close that real quick. When do I do this? When do I do this? Psalms chapter 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season. He says, what's going to happen? If you will not follow the advice of the wicked, if you will not listen to negativity, say amen, or you'll stand around with sinners, because if you will listen to the advice and then you start standing around with them, you'll end up just sitting down in the seat of mockers. Hard to get somebody up once they're seated. I told Ralph this week, if I have to convince you that positivity is best for your life, you're not ready. If you got to be convinced of that, you're not ready. But he's, you know, when it's seasonal, when it's in season, when do I need to bear the fruit of forgiveness? Always. It's always in season. There's nothing in life at any time in our life that's not in season. And so when do I do this? All the time, not just on Sunday morning. Because I didn't really need it this morning. I really didn't. All y'all look pretty good. None of you giving me any problems I know of. And y'all look great. Everybody seemed like greeted you this morning. You seem to be doing pretty good. So this is not, I'm going to need this tomorrow morning when I get up. Why do I do this? I love this. You ready? Why do I do it? Let me just, first of all, you're either in the law of love or under the law of demand. You see, he didn't say it in Psalms chapter 1, he who delights himself under the law, he said he delights himself in the law. Because when Paul came along, he said the law now is the law of liberty. Why do I bear fruit? I told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. But the grapevine also refused, saying, should I quit producing the wine that cheers both God and people just to wave back and forth over the trees? Wow. The fruit that I produce brings joy to God and brings joy to me. That's a good reason, don't you think? What brings joy to you? Your kids bearing fruit or working out the flesh? Which one bears joy? Which one makes you happy? Of course. Wine, he says, he gave wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. I want you to stand with me. If you want to jot this down and just remember it, I want to close with it. Psalm 92. Say Psalm 92, verses 13 and 14. Say Psalm 92, 13 and 14. Say it one more time because I want you to remember this. Psalm 92, 13, 14. You ready? For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of God. See, God took you, was planted in the world, and transplanted you into God's house. And said, they flourish in the courts of God. Years ago, and I read this next part, didn't really mean a lot to me. But the older I get, the more this means a whole lot to me. Even in old age, they will produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. Wow. I like that more now than I used to, Joy. When I first started preaching 37, 38 years ago, I just preached that for Daddy. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There's no evil in him. Wow. Thank God that fruit bearing is forever. I'm so grateful that I didn't decide 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago that I've learned all I need to learn. I know all I need to know, and I can just rest on my laurels and just preach and teach what I know from now on. I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm glad that there's more fruit I can bear. That there's more fruit that I can bear. That God loves you, and there's more fruit that you can bear. There's not a one of us. He says, I just want you to just bear fruit. I want you to be so loaded down. Like I said months ago, it's not, I don't bear this fruit for me to eat. Apples don't eat apples. Apple tree, orange trees, just, they don't eat their own fruit. They walk by somebody over here that needs some fruit. Say, go ahead, you can have that. You can have that fruit. You need some love, here, go. You can have that fruit. It's not for me. It's for you. So that somebody can come up to us in a time that they just need an encouraging word. They just need somebody to look at them and say, you know what? You're awesome. You're awesome. You've got such a future ahead of you. Only begun what God's going to do in and through your life. You've thought at times, Lord, what if I have all this for? Why have you imparted this to me? Why have you given this to me? And it seems like, you know, I just don't, not able to reach it out and give it out. But you're going to be so fulfilled in the days to come that your greatest days are ahead of you. Your greatest times are ahead of you. Your greatest joys are ahead of you. And you can rejoice and know that. And God's working in and through your life. And He just says to you today, just be at peace. Rest at peace. And know that God is the God who works out all things for good. Them that love Him and called according to His purpose. And you've heard it and you've said it in your heart, in your mind rather, God loves me. But you're going to say it from this day forward from your heart. You're not going to just know it up here. You're going to know it in here. Because that's what we got to know. The knower's got to come from in here, not up here. But deep down in here, I got to know God loves me. And I've said it a million times, it seems like. But the greatest revelation you'll ever get in your life is a revelation that God loves me. That God loves me. God's called you to bear fruit. That your fruit should remain. David, Linda, there's some changes coming. I don't know what they are, but you just stay open to the Lord, and God's going to begin to speak to you about some things. And I'm not trying to give you a directive word by any means, because I don't have a clue. I'm just obeying the Lord to speak to you, but changes are coming, good changes. And God's going to give you tremendous wisdom as to how to bring those changes about. And you'll know it when it comes. You say, that's what I was talking about. Dale, just stop worrying. God's got it under control. God's got it under control. And under control because you're under control. And you begin to speak what you want to see into those situations. You begin to speak peace. Begin to just take your faith, take what God's placed in you, and begin to speak it forth, and you'll see it. You see, God knew who would be here today and who would not be here today, and I believe that God, sometimes He just orchestrates these kind of moments so that we can just have a few moments together. Just listen and hear God's voice. Nothing like bearing fruit. And see, we get misguided and get misdirected in this life because our culture says that it's all about what we have and keeps us sidetracked about what we have. I guarantee you, this young man right here tell you that's not what life's all about whatsoever. And they would tell me and this morning when he walks in, 3 days ago, 2 years, I've been clean. in 2 years. Besides that, he graduates this May. Graduates from school. And God's just got his hand just all over his life. And he's bearing fruit. Because the enemy said, I'll kill him. But he rose up, sat in my office about 2 years ago, and looked at me and said, he's not going to kill me. And see, it wasn't like God just came down and plucked him up out of where he was. No, he said, God's in me, and that's going to make a difference. And that's what happened in his life. God didn't love him anymore than he loved any other drug addict. It's just that drug addict decided he's not a drug addict. Decided he's a child of God. And he's going to cause, let that happen in his life. I love fruit. And I'm not talking about a fruit stand at the grocery store. I love to see people's lives just bear fruit. I like to see people who's this year they're this way. Matthew, God's got his hand just all over you. And God honors the faithfulness of the past. And your future's bright. It's not going to be the way it is. And I just speak blessings in your life. I speak doors to just open, 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 open. Just many, many doors are going to just start flinging open. And just start being grateful and thankful and saying it over and over in your life. It's happening. Not it's going to happen, but say, it's happening. Okay? Just keep saying, it's happening. So we sing that song, and I love that song, but you pull the words up on that song. Will the band come on up? I want you to look at these words. I want us to sing it in a moment in a little different way. Y'all good? All right. This is good. I've got to share with you. We're going to sing this song in a little different light. Ushers, you can be coming. We'll receive our morning tithes and offerings. And as just go ahead and be doing that. After that, it's our last Sunday in the month for missions. Let me forget about all that right now. All right. We're going to sing this song in the first person. Don't get me into English because I'll get it. But I think that's what I'm trying to say. But we're going to sing it together. And we're going to sing it. I want you to sing it. The waves in the sea. Let me preach it. You with me? I want you to sing it. The winds in the sea still know my name. So I learned a long time ago in John chapter 1. Said there was a man sent from God and his name was John. And I told the congregation years ago, here's how I want you to read that from now on. Because I can read it that way because my name is John. But I want you to read it from now on. There was a man sent from God and his name was Ken. There was a man sent from God and his name was Billy. There was a woman sent from God. There was a woman sent from God. There was a man sent from God. Put your name there. And so I want you to know something. The enemy doesn't want you to know that the winds and the sea still know your name. See, Paul went around letting the devil know who he was. Somebody else tried to do it and said, you know, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? Who are you? But see, he's in you. And so it's now I can speak to my storm. I can speak to that sea and say, be still. Be still. All right, let's sing in the first person. Grander earth has quaked before.
moved by the sound of my voice.
Come on.
Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard.
Yeah. Yesterday, Barbara asked me in tears, said, when's the next sacrament of healing? And she said, I want all the elders to pray for me. And I said, well, it didn't have to be the second Sunday in the month. We got in this fresh oil the other day, and I told Will, I said, well, it ain't the sacrament of healing. He said, well, we are a church. You know, so all the elders, I want you to come. We're going to anoint Barbara with oil. And as an eldership, we can say the winds and the seas still know our name. And it's all symbolic of your Holy Spirit, for which we know, Lord, that by your stripes that we are and that we were healed. And there's not anything, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But we stand whole and we stand, Lord, healed in your name. And we just speak, Father, the glorious wonders of God. And Lord, for the manifestations, God, that comes only from you, through us, in us, for us. And we release, God, it all in the name of Christ. We thank you. Winds and the sea still know my name. I want that to just get so ingrained in our hearts that from now on, every Sunday morning when I'm coming to church now, I have to discipline myself to pray the right prayer. Because I used to pray, my prayer was, I'd be on my way to church and I said, God, I just pray that you'll just anoint me with the Holy Spirit. I pray you do this. I pray that you do that. And I find myself every Sunday morning almost starting that prayer. And I said, whoa. And then I pray like this. I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's in my life. I release wisdom and understanding. I release in the people's hearts and minds the ability to comprehend and receive and to go forth changed. And it takes discipline to change the way I used to pray. I'll tell you what, it works. It works, it really does. I love you guys so much. I'm just so glad. I'm just glad that who was here today was destined to be here.
We have volume there. I want to thank everybody that helped out with Rushton Hope, volunteered at the food pantry, and cold day yesterday, and cooking and all of that. Thank you. Lives were touched because of you. As we're dismissing, you can still come down and give alms if you would like to do that. Those alms go to help pay for the cost of each month of the Rushton Hope, the food that is provided there, and then different folks within the church that have needs. We meet those needs throughout the month. You can do that each and every week with your offering. You just designate it on your bottom of your check or when you give online, either way. 2 weeks from today is our movie and our chili cook-off. I'm still in need of 4 pots of chili. So if you are interested in cooking a pot of chili and bringing it, we would love that. It'll be at 6 o'clock for the chili and 3:30 for the movie. When the game stands tall, you won't want to miss that. So great to see Don Tallman back in the house today and feeling better, and Ray Ringer feeling better and back in the house. I want you to this week very much so keep Ray Goolsby, his father. His father is in his last, if God has said, in the last stages, and it's kind of difficult. So be in prayer for Ray, be in prayer for his father, and be in prayer for Tanya Cobb. Got a call yesterday from Tanya. She was in Helen this past weekend, and on Valentine's Day, she got engaged. And then yesterday, he died of a heart attack. So she wanted to be here this morning, but it's been really tough on Lily also, because they were all very close. So this week, be in prayer for her and for Lily as they're transitioning through this process and the grieving aspect. So someone in your family hurts, everybody hurts. Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, Lord, for your love. We ask, Father, Lord, that Tanya and Ray and feel, Lord, the support and the love. Encourage them, knowing, Father, Lord, that you're in control. We ask, Father, Lord, that you allow us to take, Lord, what you've deposited and given to us today through worship, through the word, through Pastor Buren, Father, Lord. We ask, Father, Lord, we give freely to those we come in contact this week. Allow people to pick our fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.